الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده ولا أمة بعد أمته، ولا كتاب بعد كتابه، ولا شريعة بعد شريعته. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. واستقم كما أمرت، صدق الله العظيم. Respected ulama, elders and brothers, we begin by praising Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the many favors Allah has bestowed upon us. And indeed, one of the favors of Allah is that despite the distance that you and I might be living in, Allah has made us His brothers. And إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةٌ and مُؤْمِنِينَ and believers, wherever they are in the world, are brothers unto one another. So Allah has united us on the basis of the kalima La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. We thank Allah for this favor, we thank Allah for the favor of Iman. And on the basis of deen, our greatest benefactor in this world is our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We acknowledge our Nabi and through whom Allah Ta'ala has sent His message to us. And we say, O Allah, send salutations upon our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Respected elders and brothers, I think it is something that is now common cause, common knowledge, that throughout the world Muslims do face some peculiar type of situations and challenges. The challenges might be coming from different type of sources, different type of aspects, and in the face of that, it is important for us to understand the challenges and also be able to face it resolutely and with steadfastness. Keep one thing in mind, this world Allah Ta'ala has made it such that there is never going to be a day in which a person's life would be without challenges. There is always challenges. لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي كَبَدٍ. Allah has created human being in toil and effort. Imam Sahib read so beautifully, فَإِنَّمَا عَلُ وَسْرِ يُسْرًا إِنَّمَا عَلُ وَسْرِ يُسْرًا. With قُسَر there is ease, and with ease there is قُسَر. With ease there is difficulty. So this is the very nature of our life in this world. If you were to think that Allah Ta'ala in the Holy Quran has made mention of our life as a test. الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. Allah has created the process of life and death to test who does righteous deeds. So when this life is a test, to Allah to test us, how do we live our life in this world, then by the very nature and definition of a test and an examination, many of us have passed through some form of being students. And being students, you and I know that in student life there is going to be sometimes, while you write an examination, easy questions, challenging questions. No one, when he's writing an examination, when there is a challenging question that comes in the examination, throws up his hand in the air, so I'm not going to write this examination, very difficult question. No one does that. Just as there are easy questions that might come that a person might have known it, or it is generally understood by the student body to be easy questions, in a similar manner, they are going to be, in the course of an examination, challenging questions. And a bright student also knows that many a times the marks that you get, the good marks that you get, it is not based on how you respond to easy questions. It is based on how you respond to challenging questions. So the challenging questions that the teacher will put forward, he waits for the bright and talented student, how does he respond to that? And then accordingly he gives the mark according to how you respond to the challenging questions. So we, when we keep in mind that the entire life is a test, so Allah has made mention that in the course of the test, Allah will Allah will test you with fears. Allah will test you with challenging situations. One of the tragedies is that when things are easy, no one regards that as a test. When things are easy, no one regards that as a test. But Allah in the Quran, not once, many occasions has said that is also a test. And perhaps it's a greater test than the test that comes through difficulties and challenges. قَالَ هَذَا مِنْ فَضْلِ رَبِّي. Say this is the grace of my Almighty. Now you and I are very clever, we are very intelligent. You see this verse many a times when a person gets a new car, he gets a new house, he puts that particular verse as a frame or as a sticker in his new car or in his new house. Oh, this is the grace of the Almighty. I got a new car, I got a new house. Very seldom do people complete the verse. Very seldom do people complete the verse. What is the next verse after هذا من فضل ربي؟ لِيَبْلُوَنِي أَشْكُرُ أَمْ أَكْفُرُ. Allah has given you the grace to test whether you are grateful or ungrateful. Allah has tested you whether you are grateful or ungrateful with the easy conditions I have given you. So how Allah Ta'ala says, now this is about the easy conditions being a test. Allah Ta'ala makes mention of the difficult situations also being a test. وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنْفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ. I will test you by diminishing your wealth. I will test you with fear and anxiety. What is going to happen to us in the future in this country? I will test you. مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ. Your business margins will come less. وَنَقْصٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ. وَالْأَنْفُسِ وَالْثَمَرَاتِ وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. And Allah Ta'ala gives great guidance to those people who persevere. The word sabr is not patience. The word sabr is persevere. Sabr we normally translate English as patience. It's an incomplete translation of sabr. Sabr means perseverance upon the command of Allah irrespective of the situation. So Allah makes mention of easy conditions as a test, 19th Surah of the Quran. Allah makes mention of difficult situations as a test, 2nd Surah of the Holy Quran. Look at how Allah says in Surah Al-Fajr. فَعَمَّ الْإِنسَانُ إِذَا مَبْتَلَاهُ رَبُّهُ فَأَكْرَمَهُ وَنَعَمَهُ فَيَقُولُ رَبِّي أَكْرَمَنِ. When Allah tests you, إِذَا مَبْتَلَاهُ tests you, by giving you things that you like, by making things easy. فَيَقُولُ رَبِّي أَكْرَمَنْ. Human beings say, Ma Allah is happy with me, Ma Allah has honored me. But look at how Allah puts it. When I test you with easy conditions, you say, Allah is happy with me, Allah has honored me. Just look at the strain of thought in these verses. أما الإنسان إذا ما ابتلاه فقدر عليه رزقه. And when Allah tests you with difficult conditions and your risk becomes less, فيقول ربي أعانن. Human being says, ما Allah has forsaken me, ما Allah has forgotten me. What does Allah respond to our understanding? That when easy conditions come, we are happy. Allah is happy with us. When difficult conditions come, we say Allah has forsaken us. Human beings' normal reaction to ease and difficulties like that. What does Allah say with regard to our normal instinctive reactions? Kalla, kalla, no, this is not the case. Kalla, this is not the case. If Allah brings easy conditions, also part of the test. And Allah brings difficult conditions, also part of the test. Allah wants to see how you respond to Allah's commands in different conditions. Allah wants to see how you respond to Allah's commands in different conditions that Allah Ta'ala brings forward to you. That's the reality of our world. Now, in terms of challenges, because Allah has granted challenges, today we feel that in terms of the challenge, you know, there's a lot of challenges upon us. Will you be able to get past? First of all, keep in mind that yes, it is possible for us to respond to challenges. It is not only possible, it is very possible. Allah will never bring a situation upon people that it will be impossible for them to practice the deen of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Allah Ta'ala says in the Holy Quran, لَا يُكَلِّفُ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا وُسْعَهَا. Allah does not bring upon people such a situation that is beyond them to carry out. Allah never bring upon them. One day a person came to a very great scholar and told him that I can't get up for Fajr prayers. Make dua for me, I can't get up for Fajr prayers. So the scholar responded to him and said, I take an oath by the name of Allah you are talking a lie. I take a qasam that you are lying. Because if you would not have been able to get up, Allah would not have made it compulsory. Because Allah says, I never impose something upon people that is beyond them to carry out. So if Allah has made Fajr Salat compulsory, it means it is possible for you to carry it out. Otherwise Allah would not have made it compulsory. Now there is never going to be a situation where impossible to carry out. Sometimes there will be more challenges than others. And one thing you must always keep in mind, our deen did never come with an expiry date. Let me repeat it. Our deen has never come with an expiry date. Many times we hear people say, in some of the modernist type of thinking, they say, you know, the Sharia and the laws of Allah Ta'ala are now in the 21st century no more relevant to the time that you and I are living in. It's no more relevant. Nowadays we are very advanced. You can't bring Sharia that was 14 centuries back. You can't bring it now. So normally I ask them this question, since when was Islam dated for it to be outdated? Since when was Islam dated for it to be outdated? Is there any ayat of the Quran that you see that Allah has said only relevant till 2000? Have you seen ayat of the Quran? So something becomes the outdated when it is dated. When it is not dated, how can it be outdated? There is no expiry with regard to any of the commands of Allah. It's not like, you know, someone, one asana or one day is seeing his nikah certificate. So the wife said, what are you looking for? Say, I'm looking for the expiry date. No expiry date in the nikah certificate, no expiry date in the Quran. There is no expiry date. So Islam is not dated for it to be outdated. That's one. The second thing is, when we talk about challenges, it's our challenge to practice upon the deen of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more than what it was for the Sahaba Ikram in the initial stages of Islam? No, never. Hazrat Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala one day asked Khabbab bin Arf, oh Khabbab, tell me, I heard that you were tortured when you accepted Islam. Tell me what happened to you. Show me what happened to you. So Khabbab radiallahu ta'ala daftara to surta and showed Umar ibn Khattab his back. And Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala when he saw his back, started crying and weeping and said, Khabbab, what happened to your back? Look at the marks, look at what is left of your back. Explain to me what happened. So Khabbab said, oh Amir al-Mu'mineen, when I accepted Islam, my family lit up a fire and they dragged my body and my back through that fire to try and make me renounce Islam. And with the fat that came out of my body, that fat extinguished the fire that was lit up for me. That's how the fire became extinguished. And the marks that you are seeing on my body is in reality that torture marks that I had when I accepted Islam. Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu used to be dragged on the streets of Makkah al-Mukarramah, dragged on the hot Arabian desert sands, and he was beaten up by terms by the chieftains of Makkah,
And as he was beaten up, he was saying, Allah, Allah, Ahad, Ahad, the one. Zindira radiallahu ta'ala was a slave of Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala, who didn't accept Islam in the beginning. He, despite his physical prowess, despite his physical strength, he used to beat up the Zindira to such an extent that he used to get tired of beating up. And then he used to stop saying, I'm not stopping because I have compassion for you. I'm stop beating you because I'm tired. Now, I ask you, brothers, is our difficulty in complying with the command of Allah Ta'ala to that extent, where to take the name of La ilaha illallah as akin to them? No, 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 it's not like that. So we must have a perspective with regard to some of the challenges we face. I'm not saying the challenges are not there. Obviously, in challenges we have to face, we have to face it resolutely and take the necessary steps with regard to it. The first aspect is that we have a perspective with regard to it. Is our difficulty in complying with the commands of Allah Ta'ala in the environment that we are, as difficult as it is, because the environment is not conducive. You do get sometimes, you know, pointed out that you are a fundamentalist, you are like this, you are like that, you are a third force, you are not loyal, etc. All of those things are there. But it is not akin, or it is not in any way equivalent to what happened to the Sahaba Ikram and Allah Ibn Usman. So have a perspective. The third thing with regard to dealing with this type of difficulty is that the greater the difficulty, the greater the reward of Allah Ta'ala to practice upon the deen of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling a hadith that a person who practices upon the deen of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at a time when other people are finding it difficult to comply with the command of Allah Ta'ala, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used the word kahijrati ilayhi. He is like that person who made hijrat while I'm alive from Makkah to Medina. Brothers, just understand this. That in the time of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one of the greatest accolades, one of the greatest acts of reward was to migrate from Makkah to Medina. The greatest hijrat. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the person who practices upon deen when other people are not practicing upon deen, or when it is difficult to practice upon deen, he will get the reward of one who migrates from Makkah to Medina while I am alive. So Allah in this type of situation has given us an opportunity to respond positively to this type of challenges. Yes, in this type of challenges, one of the aspects that we need to bring into mind is, I've made mention of the challenges and how do we feel that, you know, how do we respond, or for us to think that, no, it is not something that is beyond our control to respond to it. It is within our control. Now, how do we respond? There are a few things that very briefly I will make mention of. The first thing is istiqamah. Istiqamah means steadfastness. You know, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one day, Sahaba Ikram ridwanullahi ta'ala ajma'in, saw the first signs of white hair appearing on the beard of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they asked, Ya Rasulullah, why are you becoming old? So Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Shayyibani Hud. Surah Hud is making me old. Shayyibani Hud. Surah Hud is making me old. The ulama went through Surah Hud and said, what was the ayat Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was referring to? It said that Surah Hud is making me old. Most of the ulama came to this ayat. Wastaqim kama umirt. Be steadfast upon what Allah has commanded you to do. Brothers, this is a very, very amazing ayat. Reminds me of a very similar type of hadith where one day a sahabi came to Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah, I want advice, but I don't want long advice. I don't want long lectures. Give me short advice that I can be steadfast upon it. So Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, say, I believe in Allah, then remain steadfast upon that till the day of death, till the day you die. I don't give him any other advice. That advice is sufficient for you. Qul aamantu billah thumma istaqim. Say, I believe in Allah, then you remain steadfast upon that till the day you die. Brothers, the steadfastness, you and I can think that it's a very short advice. No, no, it's a very comprehensive advice. It is advice that covers our entire spectrum of life. Remain steadfast upon the principles of Islam. No new variations of Islam. من أحدث في أمرنا هذا ما ليس منه فهو رد. Whoever innovates something new in religion, it will not be accepted from him. Remain steadfast upon what Allah commands you to do in terms of your ibadat. If Allah has commanded you 5 times daily salah, do it. No matter how hectic a life you might lead. How people say today we are very busy. That time the people could reach 5 times daily salah because they were not so busy. No, no. Istiqamah. Remain steadfast upon that particular command of ibadat, no matter how hectic a life that you might lead. Remain steadfast on the economic principles of Islam that requires people to stay from an, away from an interest-driven economy. No matter how widespread it becomes in the economic field, I will remain steadfast upon Islam, which tells me that interest is harmful to you, harmful to the community. It is declaring war against Allah and His Rasul. I will stay away from it. I will remain steadfast upon what Allah commands me. I will remain steadfast upon the moral conduct of Islam that does not allow relationship between male and female outside nikah, no matter how widespread it becomes amongst my peers, my friends, my young people. No, no, I will remain steadfast. Now do you realize why Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, قُلْ آمَنْتُ بِاللَّهِ ثُمَّ اسْتَقِمْ. Remain, say I believe in Allah and remain steadfast upon the commandment of Allah within his hand. And that is why Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, this ayah, according to the ulama, is making me old. وَاسْتَقِمْ كَمَا أُمِرْتُ. Remain steadfast upon what Allah Ta'ala has commanded me to do. So that is the first thing, brother. That is istiqamah is not making ibadat or doing worship, devoting yourself occasionally to Islam. Remember that. Istiqamah is not devoting yourself occasionally to Islam. Istiqamah means to remain consistent upon what Islam has commanded at all times. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, أَحَبُّ الْأَعْمَالِ إِلَى اللَّهِ أَدْوَمُهَا وَإِنْ قَلْبِ. The most beloved deen in the eyes of Allah is that which, although little, is done consistently. I'm going to make one request for my benefit. Can I make this request for my benefit? Let us do one deen, that you do without pain consistently every day of your life. Say inshallah. One deen, every day, without pain. You do it every day. It might be, I will read 2 rakats of Salatul Hajat before I leave for my work, for my studies every day. Or I will read Yasin every day of my life. But don't leave it. It might be a small deed. It will not take you more than 3-4 minutes. But do it on a daily basis. Inshallah, you will see the benefit of it. The most beloved deed in the eyes of Allah is that you go, oh, listen, is that consistent? And inshallah we can do. Make one deen. Maybe 2 rakats of salat over and above your faras. Over and above your normal. But one deen that you will do every day. Inshallah we'll do that inshallah. It might benefit me because I'm telling you, you make amal, I will get the reward inshallah. Istiqamah. The second important thing that I'm going to say, brothers, is let us play our role in changing perceptions. We must play our role in changing perceptions. And keep one thing in mind, that today you and I are living in a world where we cannot remain in isolation. There was perhaps a time, maybe say 2 decades ago, there was perhaps a time when Muslims in many parts of the world, I've seen this, I went to UK almost 12 times. I've been to Canada 3-4 times. I've been to Australia 2-3 times. I've been to South Africa where they say very similar concerns that you have here in Sri Lanka. There was a time that Muslims could remain in one corner, practice their deen, no one used to worry about them, they used to live their life, and that particular life, they used to carry on doing their life, and it shouldn't feature in mainstream. Let them do what they want. World used to carry on. Government used to carry on. The unfortunate part, or the fortunate part, Allah knows, is after a particular time in recent history, Muslims cannot afford to be outside mainstream news because Muslims are mainstream news. Understand what I'm saying? There could be a time when you used to stay away from things no one used to worry about. Now you can't stay away from things because you are mainstream news. You are the one that people are discussing. You are the one that people are talking about. Whether you go to the United Kingdom, whether you go to Canada, whether you go to America, whether you're in Sri Lanka or Africa, throughout the world, you are the one that people are talking about. What role do you play in the world? Are you a threat to the world security? What is your situation? So when people are discussing you, you are the point of discussion, whether you like it or not. If you stay away from that particular discussion, people are not going to stop discussing you. People are not going to stop discussing you. You are the point of discussion. So either you play a role in how people perceive you, or people are going to perceive you without your contribution. And then when they're going to perceive you without your contribution, it's going to be an incomplete understanding of you. So this particular aspect that people feel, let me stay in one corner of my house, let the world carry on, it used to work, but historically it can't work in this way. In isolation, you can't change people's perceptions, you can't change negative perceptions. In isolation, you can't change the tide of events. So for you to say, I'm going to sit in my one corner, I'm going to sit in my, call it a Hanukkah spiritual retreat, and my masjid, in today's time is not going to work. And neither do we propagate and advocate the other extreme. Neither do we advocate the other extreme, that you become part and parcel of the entire society and community where there is no distinction between you and others. So neither can a person remain in isolation, where he can't change people's perception, can't change the type of events, or he can't assimilate, where there will be no distinction and no difference between Islam and other religions. So neither are these two extremes plausible, and neither are these two extremes practical in the day and age that you and I are living. You can't isolate, you can't assimilate. مَنْ تَشَبَّهَا بِقَوْمِ فَهُوَ مِنْهُمْ. If you assimilate, you lose your Islam. You will never remain a Muslim. Islam is very sensitive about its distinctive nature. Let me repeat this. Islam is very, very sensitive about its distinctive nature in terms of ibadah, in terms of its way of life. The people of Makkah came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, O Muhammad, we will accept Islam if you just turn a blind eye towards our idol worshipping. If you just pass a hand over our idols. Allah Ta'ala replied, La a'budu ma ta'budun wa la antum. You will not worship what they are worshipping. We don't expect them to worship Allah while they are worshipping somebody else. You and I, we don't perform sidda and salah three times in the day. Which are those three times? Sunrise, sunset, zawal. Why? Because there are people who worship the sun. They worship the sun during those three times. If Muslims make salah during those three times, people might get a wrong perception that Muslims are worshipping the sun. Therefore, despite the fact that Allah loves sijda so much, أَسْتَاجِدُ يَسْجُدُ بَيْنَ قَدَمَيْهِ الرَّحْمَنِ. A person who makes sijda, it is as if he is making sijda on the feet of Allah Ta'ala. Allah says it is haram for you to make sijda in this life. Why? People will feel that there is no distinction. And Allah Ta'ala wants to place the distinction. So we can't assimilate, we can't be like one person or different in terms of our certain fundamental principles. And yet at the same time, you can't isolate. What do you do, Eric? You integrate in the society without assimilating, without sacrificing your norms and values. But you go into the society
and you show people what Islam is all about. And you change stereotypes by the manner you conduct yourself in mainstream society, not in isolation. You do not assimilate, but you don't isolate. You go into mainstream society, in your working place, and you show people what Islam is. Let me give an example with regard to this. Hazrat Zulaikha, when she was accused about falling in love with Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, وَقَالَ نِسْوَةٌ فِي الْمَدِينَةِ امْرَأَةُ الْعَزِيزِ تُرَاوِدُ فَتَاهَا عَنْ نَفْسِهِ قَدْ شَغَفَهَا حُبًّا. The woman of the city said, Zulaikha has got in love with her slave. With her slave. Love has made her blind. She has been upon the wrong path. So Zulaikha, instead of writing pamphlets, Zulaikha called all of them. فَلَمَّا صَلَّتْ بِمَكْرِهِمْ أَرْسَلَتْ إِلَيْهِمْ وَعَاتَلَتْ لَهُنَّ مُتَّكَعًا. She made them sit on comfortable reclining cushions, gave everyone a knife, gave them something to cut, and then she told Hazrat Yusuf, you make your appearance when they are about to cut that fruit. فَلَمَّا رَأَيْنَهُ أَكْبَرْنَهُ وَقَدَّعْنَا أَيْدِيَهُنَّ. When they saw Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, they cut their hands instead of cutting the fruit. وَقُلْنَا حَاشَ لِلَّهِ مَا هَذَا بَشَرًا. And they said, وَاللَّهِ الْعَزِيمِ, this is not a human being. إِنْ هَذَا إِلَّا مَلَكٌ كَرِيمٌ. This is a finger. When people objected to Zulaikha about her object of love, she brought the object of love in front of them and they went to cut their hands. If today people, Maulana Sajjad Mamali from India says, if today people object about Islam, Islam is like this and Islam is like that, show them Islam. He says, don't you have confidence in Islam more than what Zulaikha had on the beauty of Yusuf alayhi salam? Don't we have that? Don't we have more confidence on the beauty of Islam than the confidence Zulaikha had on the Yusuf alayhi salam's beauty? Obviously we have more confidence. So show it to them. And shut the mouth of those people who are speaking against Islam by showing them the beauty of Islam. That is now what is needed. Not isolation, not assimilation. Go there and show people the beauty of Islam. And wallahi al-azim, Islam has got that particular aspect of changing people. And that change will come by akhlaq, that change will come by conduct. I'm not in any way diminishing the role of ibadat. Ibadat is very important. Ibadat is very important. Buni al-Islam wa ala khams. Islam rests upon five pillars. And the five pillars are shahadat, the kalima la ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, and the salat, zakat, hajj and itikaf. That is true. But let me ask you one question. If you go to a person's house, and you say to a person, you've got a very beautiful house because your foundation is very nice. Your foundation is very strong. What will that person say? How can you judge the beauty of my house by my foundation? The foundation is needed for the house to stand. Without it, the house won't stand. But you're not going to judge the beauty of the house by the foundation, as important as it is. How are you going to judge the beauty of the house? You're going to judge the beauty of the house, and the house is beautiful. The house got a beautiful door, got beautiful furniture, got beautiful carpets, beautiful aesthetics, and a beautiful house. And you tell a person, Alhamdulillah, what a nice house you got. What a beautiful house you got. So people are going to judge the house by the aesthetics of the house. As important as your ibadat is, because without it, your house cannot stand. As important as our ibadat is, without it, our Islam cannot stand. People are not going to judge Islam by your ibadat. Your ibadat is between you and Allah. People are going to judge Islam by your conduct with them.
What is your conduct with them? How have you dealt with them? How is it possible that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a short period of time changed people who were hostile towards him, and we staying in a community, I tell the same thing to my brother in South Africa, staying in a community who has not been hostile with you, you have not been able to change the perception. What is the reason? Why have you not been able to change perceptions? Why have you not been able? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam changed people who did not want to see the Nabi of Allah. He changed people's perception who did not want to see him. Amr ibn al-As, when he accepted Islam, towards the end of his life, Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhu told his son Abdullah, I hope one thing will save me on the day of Qiyamah. And Abdullah said, what will save you? He said, there used to be a time when there was no one's faith that was more hated by me than the face of Muhammad ibn Abdullah. But when the Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam showed me his akhlaq, I became a Muslim. And today there is no one's face and no one's name that I love more than the Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Maybe Allah will save me on the day of Qiyamah. I was a mushrik. I spent so much time against the Nabi of Allah ta'ala in fighting. But Allah ta'ala changed me by being close to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam because of his akhlaq, because of his conduct. If you wear good clothes, if you wear good clothes, then people's eyes will remember you. But if your akhlaq is good, people's heart will remember you. If you wear good clothes, people's eyes will remember you. That's why very smart, so smart, okay, very good. But if your akhlaq was good, people's heart will remember you. Safwan bin Umayyah, radiallahu ta'ala, first was among those people who sent Umar ibn Wahab to kill Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He told Umar, go and kill Muhammad. I will look after your children for the rest of your life, for the rest of my life. Umar said, how can I kill? I got debts, I got tremendous debts. Safwan said, I will look after your debts. I will take care of your debts. So Umar ibn Wahab went with a poison dagger to Madinah Sharif after Badr. So the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called and said, Umar came. He said, why have you come? He said, I came to ransom people. Ransom some of my family members who have been taken captive in the Battle of Badr. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Umar, if you have come to ransom people, what are you doing with a poison dagger hidden under your kurta, under your coat? Umar ibn Wahab got frightened because no one knew about it. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, oh Umar, what did Safwan tell you in Kaaba and Baytullah? Umar ibn Wahab said, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. No one knew what had happened between me and Safwan. Safwan sent Umar to kill Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Umar became a Muslim. Safwan and Umar were always close. They were family members to one another. After the point of a conquest of Makkah, when Muslims conquered Makkah, Safwan didn't want to see the conquest of Makkah by Muslims. He fled Makkah. Umar came to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Rasulullah, give Safwan protection till he comes and see your conduct. Till he comes see your conduct. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Umar, go and tell Safwan, I have given him protection. He must come and see me. So Umar said, Ya Rasulullah, who will believe that you have given protection to a person who sent me to assassinate you? Who will believe? Who will believe Safwan? Before he comes to you, because of his hostility, they will finish him off. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took out his turban. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took out his turban. He said, Umar, go and give it to Safwan and tell him to tell people that Muhammadur Rasulullah has given me protection. And if they doubt it, tell him to show them my turban. He gave the turban to the one who wanted to assassinate him. That is how people became Muslims, through the means of akhlaq. Brothers, in these challenging situations, Allah has given us a tremendous opportunity. Wallahi al-Azim, Allah has given us a tremendous opportunity to be able to showcase the beauty of Islam through the means of da'wah, through the means of our akhlaq and our conduct, through the means of da'wah and welcome, brothers, through the means of good conduct and kindness. We cannot constantly only be talking about our rights. We cannot constantly talking about Islamophobia. We can't constantly only talking about our situation. What about the poor people of the entire world? What about the poor people of this country? It is Maulana Abul Hasan Nadwi, one of the greatest alims of our last couple of decades, said that any person, any Muslim community who is in a minority must live such a life in this country that the people of that land must say that these people are well wishers of our community. They must say that these people are good people. That even if someone wants to act against them, the people on the ground will say, you cannot act against these people are good people. You cannot act against these people are good people. Have we lived such a life? Have we lived such a life? And that is going to come by changing people's heart and perception. That will come with akhlaq. Maulana Tariq Jameel is a very famous orator in Pakistan. He says he saw one day beautiful, you know, a very beautiful caption written in the back of a bus in Pakistan. I've been quoting this a lot recently. He said, in the back of a bus one day he saw written, Dil Baraye Faro, Haq Hussain, Haq Hussain. He must, the price of that heart, 8 meter gold, one kind sentence. One kind sentence is going to win perceptions. One kind conduct is going to win people's hearts. Good akhlaq is going to change without assimilating, without isolation. I've given you a small what I have heard from our ulama. May Allah Ta'ala give us the monastery and make it amal. Inshallah, I'm sure that you will take this particular message out to other people whom you meet. It will become the means of our goodness. It will become the means of our salvation. Both in this world and the hereafter. May Allah Ta'ala give us the monastery and make it amal. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.
For more lectures, visit slhub.com.